an emotion that stretches across the ages, unchanged by time, culture, or social norms. The loss of a loved one, be it a parent, spouse, child, or friend, creates a well of sadness that at times is almost impossible to bear. Because in spite of our Christian beliefs, the physical death of someone we hold dear is a heart-wrenching loss, leaving a space in our lives that only time can heal. Imagine then the widow in today's gospel. Not only had she suffered the loss of both her husband and her son, but because of that, she would also lose her social and financial security. For in that time and place, a widow without an heir was unable to retain whatever means she had, as all personal property then reverted to the husband's family. So, with her son gone, there was no provision for her for familial care, making her vulnerable to poverty and exclusion, which means that her grief was probably edged with terror as she wondered what was to become of her in the days and weeks ahead. Into this situation came Jesus. Seized with compassion for the widow, he commanded the young man to rise. And then it says that Jesus gave him to his mother. In a sense, then, the widow was given back her life also, for not only did she have her son, but she also no longer had to fear losing everything she had. Jesus saved them both, and as far as we can tell, he did it simply because he was led to by his compassion. He noticed her distress, he understood the repercussions of her loss, and he acted kindly and without question, no strings attached. So, if the life of Jesus is meant to teach us about the character of God, what does this story tell us? Well, the inspiration for Jesus' actions was his compassion, which then tells us that we worship a compassionate and caring God. And to fully appreciate what this means, we must understand the definition of compassion, which Webster's dictionary says is a sympathetic consciousness of another's distress together with a desire to alleviate it. And it's that last part that sets it apart, because anyone can be sympathetic, but not everyone is compassionate. Not everyone is willing to take that extra step and work to alleviate another's suffering. But Jesus did, not only in this case, but in many others, for it was his nature to care for and about the welfare of all people. And therein lies the challenge for Christians. As followers of Jesus, we are to emulate him. We are to serve and minister in his name. And a lot of the time we do, especially when it involves family or friends, because with them it's easy to move from sympathy to action. However, in the big picture, we may need to pay more attention, because culturally, we seem to be drifting away from the practice of compassion. Taking its place are judgment, criticism, ridicule, and an attitude of every person for him or herself. So it seems that we are almost to the point where people have to earn compassion, as too often certain people or certain groups are deemed unworthy of help and left to struggle on their own, their needs dismissed as someone else's problem. And truly, that is not at all what Jesus ever did. And although we can't literally help all people all the time, our attitude about need matters, and our words about them also matter. Because what we think and what we say has consequences. And really, those two things, along with our actions, speak volumes about us and about our faith. So if we are followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to practice compassion and kindness and live with a generosity of spirit that recognizes the imperfection and messiness of humankind while still working to love and to help it. Therefore, we must be a positive voice in a conversation about social justice. We need to work for the common good, and we are required to recognize the worth of every human being, because every human being is made in the image and likeness of God. And if we don't do that, who will? For if we fall into the cultural habit of denigration and mean-spiritedness, our faith will be hollow and our prayers will be empty. And surely that is not where God calls us to be. So the next time we are tempted to make a sweeping generalization about those people, let's stop and think again. And if we hear someone else do it, may we have the courage to think through the situation with honesty and with integrity and find some compassion for people who are having a bad time. For there are so many. Because when Jesus encountered the widow and her son, he didn't ask if the son was a good person. He didn't ask if that kid deserved to have his life back. And he didn't say to the mother, "Well, why didn't you plan better? Why didn't you take better care of your son? And you know, if you just worked harder, you wouldn't even be in this situation." No, Jesus never said any of those things. Because nobody ever had to earn his love or his compassion. Instead, he simply gave it to the poor, the widowed, the marginalized, the despised, the sick, the needy, the disciples, his followers, everyone, which all sets the bar pretty high for us. So, we must try to do likewise, not only because it's the right thing to do, but also because if we think of those times when we needed compassion and understanding, aren't we lucky that no one asked us if we deserved it? Or if we had earned it. So may we, each day, grow more compassionate of heart and more merciful of soul. May we learn to love our neighbors as ourselves. May we seek and serve Christ in all persons. And may we respect the dignity of every single human being. Because if we want to be like Jesus, that's what we have to do. Amen.